Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps, and thanks.
While concern about the future costs of carbon emissions is putting the squeeze on the largely private investment in coal in America, things are different in China. There, in the face of local power shortages, regional government banks are funding as many as two or more new coal-fired plants every week. These local funding authorities seem to be little concerned about climate change, although the estimated 750,000 deaths linked each year to coal pollution have touched off some protests. Trevor Hauser is an energy expert with the China Strategic Advisory Group. He says restrictions on household savings are driving this construction boom in coal plants.
Chinese citizens can't invest money outside of the country. They can only invest money in domestic assets. So their options are fairly limited in what they can invest. And the majority of them put their money into the banks.
Those banks, in turn, says Trevor Hauser, favor heavy industries, cement, aluminum, and steel, industries that are heavy users of electricity.
That bias is in part due to the lack of a credit system, so that state-owned banks are a little scared to lend out to 1,000 small private textile companies when they can lend the same amount to three big state-owned steel mills that they know they can get the investment back from.
That was Trevor Hauser of the China Strategic Advisory Group. Orville Schell recently returned from China. He's the director of the Center on U.S.-China Relations at the Asia Society. Mr. Schell says that the Chinese central government is having a hard time reining in the construction of coal plants in the provinces.
Unlike our own country, the central government in China, in Beijing, has become quite enlightened and quite alarmed by what they've learned about the effects of coal, of industrialization, both in terms of conventional pollutants and climate change. But at the local level, down at the provinces, the counties, and the municipalities, where economic decisions are made and where the careers of officials are judged by the economic progress that they catalyze, it is very difficult for these central government policies to be effectively carried out in terms of environmental standards being maintained on new factories. So you get this sort of insurgent proliferation of power plants that are financed by local banks for whom the land has been given by local governments, and in which the deals in which the officials are in league with each other and getting payoffs to build them. So the central government has a very hard time controlling what goes on out in the provinces.
Now, I imagine that the average person on the street in China isn't all that worried about climate change, but is pretty bothered by the air pollution, the environmental quality that coal degrades for him or her. How much are Chinese citizens responding to the challenge of the pollution from coal?
You know, it's very interesting. Environmental problems are causing people great anxiety and an increasing number of cases leading to demonstrations, protests, and sometimes violent confrontation with authorities. There was a case about 5 weeks ago in Fujian, in Xiamen on the coast, where a pyrolaxene factory was scheduled to be built. And through the sort of technological advancement of cell phone communications, people started text messaging all over the city, and tens of thousands of people poured out into the street to protest against it. This is very alarming to the government. And there have been other cases, you know, where land has been confiscated from peasants for power plants, rivers have been terminally polluted with industrial effluent, lead smelteries have been belching toxic smoke out over a rural area, where people have actually risen up and fought with guns and weapons, and people have been killed. So the government now sees that this is not a problem that they can simply kind of ignore. It is something that has grave consequences not only for social instability, but for the health of the nation and also for the economy, because it is estimated, and you see the most wildly diverging estimates, but I've seen estimates from 3% to 10% of GNP as the cost of the environmental degradation caused by this rapid industrialization.
So China is committed to moving its people ahead, and the one resource it really has is coal. It seems like there's a collision really being set up. China's desire to move forward and its use of a substance which is already choking itself and could end up helping to choke the entire planet. How do you get out of this box?
Well, I think the only way to get out of it, if you look at this in bilateral terms, China and the U.S., to both acknowledge there is a huge problem. And it isn't helpful for the U.S. to say it's China's problem and China's responsibility, or for China to say the same about the U.S. Why? Because their problem is our problem. Their pollutants are our pollutants. Their adding an addition of greenhouse gases to the atmosphere detracts from our account and our well-being. So we have no choice, it seems to me, but to get together to remedy this, something we've not really done, at least not in as substantial a way as I believe we should do. And I think we need to bring Japan into this. Why Japan? Because they have capital, they have technology, and they have, in fact, cleaned up their environment. They have a lot of experience. We need a major new initiative between the U.S. and China that stops blaming each other, that starts allotting a new kind of responsibility for the remedy, or we're never going to get on top of it.
Orville Schell is director of the Center on U.S.-China Relations for the Asia Society in New York. Thank you so much, sir.
Pleasure.
To listen to other parts of our series, Generating Controversy, The Changing Climate of Coal, go to our website, loe.org. Coming up, hard to breathe, hard to live. A Gulf Coast community downwind from a refinery complex struggles to survive pollution and the wreckage of Katrina. Keep listening to Living on Earth.